All right, welcome into Olay, Utah State. You're listening to it on KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah, Aggie Radio. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm kind of tired, but
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. No, it's a Monday morning for sure.
It is? Yeah. Is that why I want to be asleep? Oh, wait, no, that's every morning.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know you guys both went to the game on Saturday, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you guys did with your weekend?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And so I guess I won't really ask you what you do with your weekend right now because we're going to jump into that in a little bit. But part of yesterday I was playing softball with kind of some people from B-Dubs because they have like a tournament with other B-Dubs stores around the like Salt Lake Valley and stuff on Wednesday. Uh-huh. And so I was playing softball with them yesterday. Mm. And then went and I was also at the same time like watching what I could of the NBA Finals,
right.
Game 7, which was awesome.
Yeah,
right.
Super intense.
Yeah, I was really happy about the result because I really wanted Cleveland to win.
Yeah.
Because the Warriors got a really big head over the last year. And they kind of weren't very sportsmanlike a lot of times.
Right.
And so, and plus, like, I thought it'd be great for LeBron to get that win. And he was able to get it. And the crazy thing is, like, I didn't realize this, but LeBron is now 3-4 in the NBA Finals.
Wow.
So he's been there 7 times. He's only won it 3 times, but, you know, he was the man during this series.
Right.
Maybe the first couple games weren't so great, but then the last 5 games, he did pretty well every time, or did really well almost every time.
Yeah, I saw somewhere he was like leading in like points, blocks, assists, like pretty much almost every category.
Yeah, he did.
Teams. Yeah,
yeah, he led like every category. He's just completely dominant. They were the first team to come back from a 3-1 deficit.
Right.
And so, I mean, that in itself was amazing. I also am pretty sure they're the first team to win the NBA Finals with a head coaching change in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe someone else has done that, but I kind of feel like they haven't.
Yeah.
Because usually when you have a coaching change in the middle of the season, that means that your team is terrible.
Right. Yeah.
And so, I mean, they switched coaches midway through the season, and they were able to win the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I was so happy about the end.
Yeah.
And, like, some things I want to talk about, and in the bullpen, they're going to be entered in the Wall of Shame, but not doing that right now because this is Olay, Utah State. But just some stats that were very telling in my mind.
Okay.
Obviously, LeBron was dominating everything, and
right.
Kyrie Irving played really well after the first 2 games as well. But the 2 main guys on Golden State just didn't get it done for hardly any of this series.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, you know, Steph Curry was 4 of 14 from the 3-point line.
Wow.
And finished with 17 points.
Oh my gosh.
And Klay Thompson was 2 of 10 from the 3-point line, and he finished with 12 points.
Wow.
So when your 2 best players, your best scorers, don't score, you're going to lose. Like,
right.
that's what happened. And this is, I talked about this on my show, The Bullpen, the other day on Friday, I think it was, that I believed that Cleveland was going to win, mostly because, you know, the Warriors get in this 3-point mode, and they've done really well all season making 3-pointers, but then yesterday, the 3-pointers weren't necessarily falling, and especially towards the end of the game. They made several in the first half, I believe. And they did most of their damage from the 3-point line in the first half. And then, like, especially the fourth quarter, they just couldn't buy a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, these guys are so in 3-point mode that it's going to, you know, hurt them. And it did.
Yeah.
Like, those guys, they weren't hitting threes, but they kept shooting them. And and Steph Curry was always shooting off 1 foot a lot. And just, like, it wasn't great. He wasn't taking good 3-point shots. And, I mean, when you do that and you continually take bad 3-point shots, like, you're going to miss a lot, and you're just going to keep missing because you kind of get in kind of a mindset that I'm not on.
Yeah.
Like, subliminally, like, you're just thinking, oh, I'm not going to make this, and you don't.
Yeah.
And
Right.
And so I was really happy about it. One thing that was interesting was that I thought was telling was that Klay Thompson, after the game, like, he went in the locker room, like, almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't congratulate the other team or anything. He, like, just left. And it's kind of the mark of a poor sport. Steph Curry stayed out there and was telling congratulations to the other team, to the Cavs. And so he did pretty well. I think Draymond Green also went in the locker room, but then he came back out. So that was good that he did come back out.
Yeah.
But I don't have a ton of respect for him based on his extracurricular activities that he does during games.
Yeah, no, he's an interesting player, that's for sure.
Did you guys get a chance to watch the game?
Saw highlights. I was watching soccer, I guess.
Well, I mean, I recorded it, but to be honest, Orange is New Black came out this weekend. So I'll be honest, I watched that. I mean, I recorded it with the intention of going back to watch it, but haven't yet. So.
I might have to go back on and watch the whole thing because, like I was saying, I only got to watch parts of it because I was playing softball.
Right.
Yeah.
But definitely the result I wanted. I mean, other than obviously going back, I wish the Spurs would have won, like beat OKC and then the Warriors and then the Cavs. But obviously that would have been what I would really like because they're my team. But given the situation, it worked out the way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Good. And so that's kind of the update on NBA finals. And now really it's baseball and soccer at this point.
Right.
Like now that the NBA is done and hockey's done.
Yeah.
And so really, I mean, baseball still just boring middle of the season stuff. And you guys are more knowledgeable about soccer, so I kind of want to dive into that. And so I guess I want to get your guys' recaps on, you know, the two games for sure last week from Real Salt Lake, because you guys went to both.
Yeah.
And you didn't show up late, right? Because I was saying it was going to be at 10, but I guess it was at 8.
Well, not only that, but I mean, the league implemented this new security system across all teams' venues, and so, I mean, if you aren't there, what do you think, like a half hour before kickoff, then you're going to sit in line for a long time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I always get in as soon as they open the gates about 90 minutes early and just kind of walk right in and hang out and wait for it, get in game mode, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you got to go early to games. Like, for the football and basketball games here at Utah State, I mean, you got to go early or you're going to have a terrible spot. And
right.
You might not even get in basketball. So, and if you didn't get tickets for football, you might not get in.
Yeah.
But it depends on how well they're doing. But yeah, I mean, obviously you got to go early. But yeah, I was saying that the game was going to be at like 10 o'clock, but apparently they do Eastern time for all soccer games on ESPN's website.
Yeah.
Even though everything else they adjust for the time zone.
Yeah.
I'm in. It's like, so that's why I was thrown off because it was 10 o'clock Eastern time. But everything else is just like, if it says 10 o'clock, that means 10 o'clock Mountain Time because that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And so, no, it was funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess, so which was the first game that on Tuesday?
We played Wilmington Hammerheads. They're a USL team out of North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
North
Carolina. Yeah, Wilmington, North Carolina.
And, you know, the USL Pro is the second league in the United States, right? But in my opinion, if you want a successful men's national team, if you want a successful MLS, you really need successful lower division leagues, right? And so when we went down 2-0 early, I wasn't thinking to myself that it was necessarily a bad thing. I thought that the team made really silly mistakes, and I thought they were a little bit they played a little bit arrogantly. Right. Yeah. And kind of underestimated what they brought to the table, what Wilmington brought to the table. And as a result of that, got scored on off of really dumb mistakes.
Right.
You know, when you break the goals down a bit, you know, a little bit of a slow defense, you know, people not tracking their guy. And one went off of Olave in a deflection, you know, and Antonella couldn't get there in time.
Right.
And it was just kind of like, okay, are you serious? You know, these silly things. But looking up and down the board, I think two MLS teams, New York City FC, which, you know, has players who've played in World Cups, won World Cups. You know, you have two World Cup winners in Pirlo and David Villa.
Yeah.
And they lost to the New York Cosmos. And who else? DC lost in penalty kicks. Dallas went into penalty kicks.
Say Dallas went there.
New York or New England, I think, went into penalty kicks. Kansas, I think, at least went into extra time. I mean, you, all up and down the board, you saw a lot of teams barely edging their opponents out. Even LA. LA went into extra time and sort of scored off of a fluke goal, a sort of cheap goal, if you will. Basically, what happened was they got a free kick outside the box, and one of the Galaxy's players went down. And while everyone was trying to, you know, tend to him, someone kicked the goal right in. You know, someone kicked the ball right in the goal, and without anyone even realizing what had happened.
Yeah.
And they had to count it. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's just one of those things you kind of don't want to happen, but it did.
Right.
But I mean, in my opinion, you definitely need a successful lower two. I mean, we have two lower divisions.
Yeah.
And if we want our league to grow and we want our program to grow, you really need a successful, you know, you really need those divisions to be successful.
Right.
Especially in tournaments like these.
So, yeah. So we went down two, like you said, and then
had some
good subs.
Yeah. We had some good subs come in and got two back and went into extra time and ended up winning it in PKs. But, I mean, it was really stressful. I don't think we got out of there until close to 11.
Yeah.
Probably a little later.
Yeah.
I think we rolled into Logan right around 1:30. And so, you know, it wasn't the best night as far as stress levels and then getting up super early the next morning and getting home really late. It's always a trip to go from Logan to Sandy and back. So, but, you know, I mean, it's good to get a win. And it was great to be back at the Riot. Our new field looks fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
it was really nice.
You know, it was just really great to be there and just kind of see the players play again.
Yeah, and then Saturday we played Portland. And we were at that game, and the first thing that I was happy with when we got to the stadium was it was full. Like there was a lot of people there, which was really cool. I feel like since I've watched Real Salt Lake, like I feel like I came in at like a peak when we were doing really well, so there's a lot of people. And in the past years, like our crowd's been kind of struggling a little bit.
Right.
But Saturday against Portland, like it was full, and it felt like a really like exciting game. And they have one of their players, their defender, Nat Borchers, who played for us for a long time. I just thought this was interesting. As he came in, like, everyone's clapping for him here because he was a really big player for us. And he has one bad tackle on one of our guys. I don't remember who it was, but he slid somebody and then kind of got into a little shoving match with Javier.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the whole crowd boos him. You know, it's like all those years of, like, being a star for us, like, one bad tackle ruins it. But anyway, and then, you know, we kind of went back and forth with them. We scored first, I believe, and then they scored two. So they were up 2-1 at halftime, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, again, off of really dumb mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to let, you know, their playmaker, Diego Valeri, just kind of waltz around your players in the box, right?
Right.
I mean, and you kind of – look, I understand – that everyone loves Justin Glad. I think he's an amazing defender, especially for how young he is.
Right.
But you got to realize he's really young and and he's going to make mistakes like that. And the only thing you can do is hope he learns from them. I haven't seen him repeatedly make the same mistakes, so I have hope.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was just slow defense on our part. And, I mean, even Winger off the rebound.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That Milano just kind of slotted right back in. You know, he could have got there. Romano could have got there. And it was something that definitely could have been avoided and likely will. So the fact that we drew 2-2, you know, you can kind of see it as a disheartening thing. But you look at, you know, just little mistakes that can be fixed really easily, you know, then you kind of don't really have to worry. At least I don't.
And the other good thing is, like, our attack right now is so exciting to watch, which has been a problem in the past couple of years.
Right. Yeah, it's been struggling. I don't think our team, our front guys, are on the same page per se yet.
Yeah.
But I think they're getting there. Mm-hmm. I really do. I don't remember when it was, pretty early after Burrito scored the first goal. He went in the box, and he was, I swear he was in the 6-yard line. And instead of just slotting it in, he mm-hmm. tried to, you know, backheel it to Plata.
Right.
Who was caught up, because you kind of thought he was going to get there.
Yeah.
But I think he got caught up somewhere and was a little too slow to it, which made it easy for Portland to recover the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, you kind of hope that he just would take it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Appreciate the effort, appreciate the cheeky play, and appreciate the fact that the team knows what's going on. That way you can, you know, do these sort of cheeky and really cool looking things on the field, and someone will be there. But I mean, if you have a chance, just slot it in.
Yeah, just score.
Yeah, you know, I mean, 3-2, you know, would have been the score. How do you just put it in? And I don't know, at the time we would have been up 2-0, and I don't think Portland, the way they were playing, could have come from that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and then another big thing that happened, as we're sitting there watching after Burrito scores his goal, all of a sudden the fire alarm goes off in the building.
Yeah.
And I saw you made that joke that it was because his goal was so hot they had to turn on the fire alarm.
Yeah, it was really crazy that he scores and almost instantly after the fire alarm start going off and everyone's like, well, what's going on, right? I had two friends who showed up right after the goal, and they like texting my wife, and they're like, hey, so should we leave the stadium? Because that's what the announcer is saying. Everyone, you know, the fire alarm's going off, and everyone's like saying, oh, we got to vacate the stadium. And we're like, no, just stay. Something's going off, but just stay. I don't, you know, don't leave because it's not re-entry. And like, oh, okay, well, that's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of a similar thing with one of the football games we had this year. It was raining really hard, and there was like a lightning thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
And like the announcer, like you're supposed to leave for like half an hour, until like there needs to be a half an hour from the last time that lightning was seen above the stadium. And like a bunch of people left, but like a bunch of the students were just like, nah, I'm staying.
Yeah.
Like at me, I was just staying there. I was like, no, I'm not giving up the spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how this was, and it was the first time when it went off, because it went off twice, and the first time it went off, it was right after the goal, so like nothing was really happening, so it didn't really affect the game that much. The second time, though, our striker, Movsisian, had the ball at the top of the box and was just about to shoot, and the fire alarm went off, and when they all go off, it sounds kind of like a whistle, and so he kind of hesitated, and, you know, it messed with his flow of a shot, and it ended up missing by just, like, you know, maybe a foot. So it makes you wonder, had that not gone off, would that have been a more on-target shot?
I think so. I think he's been really clinical. And I don't think – I know that their keeper – I don't know where he's at right now,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have their starting goalkeeper in the net.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I don't – and credit to them. I don't want to take anything away from any player of Portland, but I really think that Mufsisian has been clinical enough and wants it enough that he could have scored that.
Yeah.
And it was just for that split second that he stopped and looked at the ref and realized it was the fire alarm before he took the shot. But, I mean, like you say, it messed with the flow. It let the Portland defense kind of close in on him. It was a weird angle that mm-hmm. he had to try to maneuver around. So you kind of, you know, no fault to anyone, but you kind of hope that next time we just kind of get it in there.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, like, if you're in that situation, you're about to shoot, and you think you hear the whistle, you're like, what are you blowing the whistle for?
Right, yeah.
No, that's what it was like, because he was behind the defense, like, coming off sides, and he just kind of, it was just like CJ was saying, just that split second of looking at the ref, and then like, oh, wait, it's fire alarm.
Yeah, because as fair as he was calling the same sort of things on both sides. He was kind of an interesting ref.
Yeah,
he was really lenient. He let them play a lot, which is great.
Yeah.
But then he would call something just like really weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when you were just kind of like, okay, is that a makeup call for the one that you let go before?
Yeah.
You know what's kind of going on here? And so I can understand definitely why he would stop. In other situations, if you have a more consistent ref, maybe you don't.
Yeah.
You know, because that unspoken rule where you just play until the whistle and then you kind of, you know, make sure,
yeah.
For me, like, when I hear the whistle, like, if I'm in a position to shoot, like, I would still shoot.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what you do. You, like, you go and you're, like, on the off chance that, you know, they're going to let me have it. Or even, it's just a practice shot, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I hear the whistle, be like a little bit annoyed, but still go for it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And like with the basketball, you like, you have the whistle and you, people will still shoot it. And it's more of just kind of a practice shot. So I think I still would have shot it, but at the same time, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, overall, when you go back, I don't know if you looked back at the highlights yet, but Portland's third goal that was ruled offside was definitely not offside.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Winger kept him on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he kept him on. I don't know what on earth the linesman was thinking, because he completely blew that call, and Wingert wasn't further than a few feet from him.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just kind of lucky, I guess.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, it's karma. I mean, they stole 2 points from us when we went up there, right, back in April.
Yeah.
Or March. March.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even now, you see the same tackle. You saw it, you know, like a month ago when we played New York City FC, and Pirlo took that made that challenge on Sonny, right?
Right.
The same exact tackle that Beckerman made that doesn't even see a yellow, right? Sometimes doesn't even get called.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing the refs kind of back off and say, okay, you know what, maybe we need to calm down, not give as many red cards.
Right.
But I mean, 2 red cards in one game, Ted Dunkel's losing his mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
and that PK at the end, I don't know. In my opinion, yeah, Olave should have had more composure, but for them to tie it up off of a PK,
right,
and then for us to do the same, it's karma.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And we've now stolen 2 points from each other at home,
right?
And so, you know, maybe we should have got the 3 points there, maybe they should have got the 3 points here, and we have to settle for
a
two
draw.
Yeah, because I mean, had we won there and lost here, we'd still be higher up in the standings,
right?
And so would they.
Yeah,
you know, technically speaking. So hopefully that those kinds of things don't happen more often.
Yeah.
But they do. It's just part of the game, and you just kind of got to go with it. And
yeah. Think. Well, and then I was just going to say a few things. So, like, first, it was just kind of funny. After the fire alarms went off, so one of Real Salt Lake's sayings as a fan is Real Salt Lake till I die.
Right.
And so we made that joke, like, we're staying here till we die. So
right.
That was just the first thing. And the other thing, I was thinking about Justin Glad, and I was thinking about that goal that he let go where it was one-on-one with him and their striker.
Yeah.
Is it Dye? Is that his name? I can't remember his last name, but
Adi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 9.
And, you know, like at first I was like, you know, that's just Glad's inexperience. But as I started thinking about it, like, I mean, he's grown up and been playing with like Olave and other defenders that are a little bit more aggressive that might've taken that guy, you know, taken him down. And
yeah, maybe, but I mean, the way things have been going, you definitely don't want to be the last defender taking a guy down.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And in my opinion, we don't have... So, as young as he is, we don't have someone who can step up and fill his shoes
right
now. You know, you kind of have Olave, but I would definitely not want to have Olave against New York.
No.
because New York is an incredibly fast... And, you know, they'll punish you if they have a chance. And I think... When Olave is on the field, I think he gets picked on by the refs a bit because he's so big.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
but as a result of that, I don't think he goes in for tackles the way he should or could even.
Yeah.
He maybe doesn't play as aggressive as he can because he's so big. Anything he does looks worse than it is. And I think we really take a hit on that because, you know, Glad won't get called for the same challenges that Olave would.
Right.
Because he's so much smaller.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was going to say. Like, had he taken, you know, that guy down, I mean, he gets a red card, they get a PK, and there is still, I think, like 60 minutes left at that point. And so it's like, do you, you know, I don't know. With Raimondo in goal, I take the chance of letting Raimondo save it rather than getting the red, you know?
Yeah.
But,
No, but I mean, it was a good game overall. Definitely, again, suggest you come to one as soon as you possibly can.
Oh, I definitely want to because I'm really excited to see the atmosphere and also, you know, soccer's fun.
Yeah, it's definitely. Sean came actually and sat in the south goal for the first time. That's where I sit, section 9 south goal.
Yeah.
You know, very rowdy, very
And they like have all the drums and stuff over there, right? Right.
Yeah, yeah, all the drums, very rowdy, very vulgar at times. Yeah.
Not where you want to take your kid.
No, definitely not. And yet,
I mean, you have plausible deniability if you're sitting across the stadium, but when you're right there in the middle, you can't really say, "Oh no, that's not what they were saying."
Right?
No, they definitely have like some interesting chants that are not official Real Salt Lake chants, but.
They're not condoned by the Real Salt Lake team.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun, though. You know, before I'd always sat up kind of either up high or at midfield, which is good. Like, you know, you can see the field quite well from up there. But sitting in the south goal, like, it's just like he was saying, like, there's so much more rowdy. And, like, you just feel like you don't have to be as careful about what you say.
Right.
Which is nice because sometimes you want to say a lot of things. But... And everyone over there is just having a good time, and everyone's excited, and that's the other thing. And, like, I love that we stand up, too, because I feel like soccer is so much better when you're standing.
Right.
Well, like, every sport is.
Yeah, exactly. And
I mean, that's what one thing that just drives me nuts. I've gone to a couple of Jazz games, but for the most part, everybody's just sitting down the whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, there's so much more excitement and more, like, it's more engaging for you as a fan if you're standing up.
Right.
Right.
And so that's why college atmospheres are so great, because all the student body is standing.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, into it, and they're, like, paying tons of attention. Whereas, like, NBA, I haven't been to an NFL game or a professional soccer game or hockey game, professional one. But I just know, like, from my experience at the NBA and even MLB, the one game I went to, I don't think anyone stood, but that was a long time ago, so I don't remember for sure.
Yeah.
But I know in the NBA, like, it's just kind of like, oh yeah, this is fun, like, we're sitting here, instead of like, no, this is my team.
Right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, I like the Jazz, and I like basketball just fine, but whenever I go to, what is it, Vivint Stadium?
Yeah,
Vivint Arena.
Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Yeah. All these crazy names. Whenever I go there, it's just kind of like, this is it?
You know, yeah.
We're just going to.
It's just not that exciting.
Right.
I mean, the game itself is exciting, but, like, the atmosphere is not.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was just like, it's so much better to go to a game at Utah State than it is at the Utah, like, Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Grand, like, the first one I went to. It was when we were playing the Lakers, and that was the year that we were just awful.
Yeah.
And but they did a lot better the last 2 years, and I went to one game each year, and like it was a little bit better, but at the same time, it was still the same. Like, this doesn't feel like a sports atmosphere that you can really get behind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the thing about being in the South Goal, a few years ago, I would change my seats depending on where we were attacking. So if we were attacking the north end, I would go and stand at the very back of the north goal. And even that was kind of hard for me to just kind of, not necessarily sit there, but be standing in the back and be able to hear the drums from the south goal and nothing going on the north end.
Yeah.
No, you know what true. I mean? Just kind of, you could hear people 3-4 rows in front of you talking about whatever it was they're discussing.
That wasn't even about soccer.
Yeah. Or trying to figure out exactly how soccer works. I know that.
So what is that guy doing?
Yeah.
Why did he pass it to that guy instead of this other guy?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and it's just, it's kind of like,
what happens when they kick it into the net?
Yeah.
There was one guy there once who went with his kids, and he was, I don't know the situation, I don't, he was an adorable dad, but he was trying to talk to his son about it, and he's like, well, now I don't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure they go 3 30-minute periods. Yeah, that's got to be it. And when we got past like, 35, he's like, or maybe not, I don't know exactly. And I just sit behind him like, oh, goodness.
It's like everything has 4 quarters except hockey has 3 periods that are 20 minutes, and then soccer has 2 halves.
Yeah.
I guess college basketball also has 2 halves, but like virtually everything else is 4 quarters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was just kind of like, okay, I'm not going to sit here anymore, and I'll just.
I was like, I'm not going to be able to refrain from telling you how dumb you sound right now.
Yeah. It's just.
It's weird when people just like don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've always been so much about sports that I know a ton about sports. Even if, like, with soccer, like, I don't have as in-depth a knowledge about necessarily, like, what's going on with the team right now as you guys. Mm-hmm. But I still, like, I know what's going on in a soccer game, like, if I'm watching it.
Right.
Right.
And just some people, like, they have no clue about anything. Like, it's just, it's like, why? How do you not know?
Yeah.
How is this not more important to you? Well,
and then CJ, he wants to start one of our weekly segments being, we're not really sure what to call it, but possibly Soccer for Dummies, for people that want to, like, start talking about soccer, but they're not sure how to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is, look, I get, you know, you had Stanley Cup Finals last week, right? You have the NBA Finals this week, and then on top of that, Game of Thrones, which I don't watch Game of Thrones, but apparently it's a big deal because everyone on social media who I follow and am friends with is just going off about it.
Right.
Which is great. So you may not have a lot of openings for soccer discussion this week. But if you happen to be working at an office and there is a group of people who enjoy soccer and you maybe want to at least sound like you know what's going on.
Or even if you want to tell people who aren't necessarily, like, into soccer,
yeah,
and sound like you're smart.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, a couple of things that you can talk about. There's the Euros going on. France obviously won their group. The Euros is being played in France right now, so that's kind of a given. You expect them to do well.
Yeah.
I mean, they ought to have the most support.
Yeah.
But then again, everything in Europe is pretty close, so there could be people coming from other countries, and you know that soccer's really big everywhere. Yeah. Oh, so
yeah. Yeah, the
people are more likely to go.
The game Iceland against Portugal, I think, had an eighth of Iceland's population there.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, just attending
and
the game.
That's the one that's going to be a little bit harder because they're on an island.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Other people that can just, like, drive and be like, yeah, I'm heading over to France for today.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And then Iceland's like, well, who's got the boat?
Right. You know, so that was a cool thing. But Switzerland also advanced. Ronaldo.
Yeah.
First of all, Portugal, you know, you expect them to perform. Yeah. Right, yeah. You expect them to do well. Even if you don't know a lot about soccer, you can at least deduce the fact that, oh, Ronaldo's from Portugal, they must be good.
Yeah.
Right? But if you look back to 2014, when we were in the group of death and we had them in our group, yeah, we drew, but they didn't advance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Germany and the United States advanced.
Right.
And they're risking not advancing in this tournament again.
Right.
And Ronaldo missed a penalty kick. And you're kind of curious, like, what's going on with Portugal? They drew Iceland and then Hungary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, wow, what's going on, Portugal? What's going on, Ronaldo? Why are you missing, you know, PKs that you can make all day with Real Madrid? It has made all year, you know, for years with Real Madrid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just coming off of UEFA Champions League championship.
Yeah.
And you kind of expect the same level of play.
Right.
You're not really seeing anything new. Yeah, you have different teams, you know, different players go to different national teams and whatever, but you're not seeing anything new.
Yeah, and so you could talk about Ronaldo missing as a simplified soccer thing, like, oh, well, Ronaldo missed PK this weekend. Or if you're talking about United States and the Copa America, if you ever heard a guy named Messi, we play him this week. On Saturday.
Does this guy just have messy hair? Is that why he's called Messi?
He does kind of have messy hair, actually.
He did. You know, back in the day, he had a shaggy hair.
So, yeah, that's why he's called Messi, right?
Right.
That's why he's important, is because he's just got the cool hair, right?
Right.
That's why people should know about him.
Yep.
Not that he, scored a hat trick in, like, 18 minutes last week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Or 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we came in this morning, and Sean asked my opinion, and honestly, I think that our main goal should be not to embarrass ourselves in our home, right?
Yeah.
I think we're playing in Houston, and the main goal there should be, okay, USA, don't embarrass yourselves. Look at Mexico and Chile this last weekend, right? And our coaches chalked it up to Mexico having a bad day, Chile having a good day, but I mean,
you don't want to be like a Brazil-Germany thing in the World Cup where Brazil lost, 8-0 at home.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? In Mexico, I just got killed. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. Everyone's been saying it anyway. This, the tournament being held in the States was home advantage for both the United States as well as Mexico.
Yeah.
Especially where you look at the cities Mexico played, you know, or states. They played in California for a couple of games. Mm-hmm. They were down in Arizona for a game. And I think their other game was played at Gillette Stadium, actually, in New Jersey. Or Massachusetts.
Yeah, I was like...
Yeah, Massachusetts.
That's in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it was always going to be home field advantage for Mexico as well as the United States, and so...
Well, and they've done well in this tournament, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, and so to see them just get annihilated, 7-0,
mm-hmm.
That's all you can hope for. We're missing three starters due to one straight red card. I say it was fair. A lot of people have disagreed with that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think...
Look, man, you don't even know what you're talking about.
I mean, if you're going to... If you're going to put your hand to someone's face, you know, whether it's a closed fist, an open fist, you should expect a red card.
Right.
You should expect to be eliminated from the game. I don't know. How does that work in other sports?
You get ejected.
Yeah.
You know, if you punch someone or slap them in the head, like, you're going to get ejected.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
I need hope more from Jermaine Jones. I mean, he knows he's on a yellow. Like, because if he got a yellow, he was out anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to go in there being, you know, smart with, I know I'm on a yellow card caution. Like, I need to be here next game. And to just pull a stupid penalty like that, like, there's no need. Like, I understand protecting the team, right? Like, you got to go up and defend your team. But,
sure.
Like, you know, putting your hands to their face, not the smartest thing. You know?
I do have to note, though. Hockey does not eject you for for punching people.
Yeah,
you get, that's true. You get 5 minutes in the penalty box, but you don't get ejected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could fight, like, you know, max, let's see, you could probably get about 15 fights in a game if you're really going for it. I don't know. Maybe they'll eject you after, like, the third one. I don't know. But
well, that's
that
great.
Is true.
No, people are chalking it up to the new rule. Across FIFA, which is just if a player makes contact with an opposing player's face with when they don't have the ball, then it's an automatic red. And I'm like, was it not before? I've seen plenty of people do that. Olave got a red card for that earlier in the year.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Portland.
Well, I mean, maybe it's a thing where, like, before you wouldn't automatically get a red card if you just inadvertently bumped their face as you're running.
Sure.
And maybe that's what it is now, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're intentionally, like, pushing someone in the head or punching them or slapping them, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be kind of embarrassing if you slapped them. But
yeah.
But if you did... I feel like that before probably was still, like, they would give you a red card, but maybe they just made it for incidental as well.
Yeah.
To make sure you're not putting your hands on someone's face.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The only unfortunate thing about that, too, is that's not our only guy that's out, right? Like, we've got Bedoya that's out, Bobby Wood that's out. I mean, that's three starters.
Yeah, it's in my opinion. So the rule is, if you get two yellow cards within the group stages as well as the quarterfinals, you get ejected for the next game. That's four games, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of, I mean, listen, I'm not saying that the referees should favor anyone.
Right.
I really not. Mm-mm. However, if you know that someone within four games can, yellow cards, I mean, we're kind of giving out like candy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't think referees really understand, you know, exactly how
just
detrimental they can be. Yeah. You know?
I wanted a yellow card so bad. Yeah. Can I have another?
Yeah.
Oh, I now have to go to timeout? You're sending me to my room? Well, fine. I'm just going to mess on my computer. So, joke's on you.
Right? I mean, it's just, it's really sucks. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't articulate it any better than that. You kind of hope that a referee goes in and says, okay, these players have yellows. Maybe I'll watch them a little bit because I don't think that Bobby Wood or Bedoya necessarily deserved their cards, and I don't think they would have got it if the ref knew that, you know, they were on suspension.
Yeah, and so that's what sucks. Like, we're playing a really good team. I mean, Argentina was in the final against Germany, and it was a close game.
Yeah, we're at first right now, I think.
Right, and, you know, with a striking duo of Sergio Aguero and Lionel Messi, like, that's just... I don't know. Our defense and our goalie would have to have the game of their lives, and then we might only lose by one or two.
Speaking of, so you know, you're facing Messi and Aguero, Di Maria. Do you put in Howard or do you stick with Guzan?
I I don't know. Gosh, dude. Why did that?
I mean,
it's a good thing we don't have to make this decision.
Right? Yeah. No. I mean, Howard's been the goalkeeper for the U.S. for years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he led us to 2 World Cups already.
Yeah.
And did a fantastic job last time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, honestly, we should have gotten farther in the tournament last time because of how good he was playing.
Right. Yeah.
But our offense just isn't very good for a national team.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a really, you know, double threat with Argentina, whose keeper's on. He's so great. Their defense is on fire, and their offense is just ticking on every cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
And our offense is kind of like. I mean, Alexi Lalas is a really big, you know, he was a former USA player, and he likes to think he knows a lot about the U.S., and maybe he does. I disagree with him sometimes. A lot of other people do as well. But, I mean, he always credits the USA to just get picking up their bootstraps and winning the American way, right? Nothing pretty, just kind of a really gritty, hard-fought, talentless almost win, and I don't necessarily disagree with him.
Right.
And when you play against someone who plays a beautiful game as well as Argentina,
yeah,
and you're kind of trying to pick yourself up and fight for it,
yeah,
you leave yourself open in the back for the best strikers in the world to just come in and tear you apart.
That's the thing that kind of worries me about this game is that we spend so much time with our attack, like just passing it back and forth,
right,
that if Argentina gets it, they can quickly counterattack and like there'll be little defense because Messi is very fast and he's great at dribbling around people and he can just single-handedly probably score like 4 goals on us if we're not careful.
I mean, like Messi is known for making, I mean, I don't remember if it was the Champions League, it was last Champions League they won and they were playing Bayern Munich, a very good team.
Yeah.
And he went up, it was a one-on-one matchup between him and, oh my gosh, I can't remember it, the center back for Bayern. I can't think of his name right now. Mine's blanking. But anyway, he crossed him up and actually made him fall down in the box. And this isn't like some guy, you know, this is like one of the best defenders in the world, and Messi's making him fall down.
Yeah,
he's just ridiculous. And I just feel like if we're not careful, we're going to give up a lot of counterattacks, like for easy shots on goal.
Yeah.
And so it's going to put a lot of pressure on our goalkeeper.
Right.
And could potentially be disastrous, but
Guzan's had a good tournament. Like he really has. It's just, do you put in Howard with all the experience that he has?
I think you have to.
I think you would.
Yeah, the worst part about Jones being out. Look, I don't like Jones, and I shouldn't say anything good about him because he plays for Colorado.
Right.
However, you have to stick Beckerman in now, right?
Yeah.
And you have to play him alongside Bradley so that you get that center defense going on.
Yeah.
But that leaves such a big hole in the attacking.
Yeah, because Jermaine Jones is a much more attacking player. Yeah, Beckerman, as much as we like have that bias towards let's put him Beckerman, like he's a defender.
Yeah,
like,
really, I mean, you know? he's not going to go up as much as Jones does.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's not going to, when he does go up, he's not going to be as effective. You know, he's not going to be able to slot an easy through ball into Dempsey like Jermaine Jones does. You know,
if Beckerman makes a shot, like if he pulls a Becker bomb, as they call him, I will lose my mind.
Well, I mean, I would just be happy if we don't get blown out.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the Germany 0-0. I think it was 0-0. I knew we drew them last World Cup. But kind of hope for that. And maybe, you know, if you stick Howard in, maybe he can block a few PKs and we can slot a few in. And
Here's what we got to do. We got to put them both in. Yeah. Two goalkeepers.
Yep. Two goalkeepers. Definitely. Gosh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the collisions that would happen? It goes right, and someone's like, all right, I'm going for the middle, and they like run into each other as they're trying to stop it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and then I was going to say, too, for you, Ethan, if you want to go to a game, there's a few opportunities this next week.
Yeah,
We play New York on Wednesday, and then we play FC Dallas on Saturday.
That's in Dallas.
Oh, is it? It's an away game too. I forgot.
But next Tuesday, round of 16, we play Seattle in the Open Cup, round of 16. And listen, I'm not taking anything away from Seattle, but they're not having the best season.
Yeah, they're struggling.
They really close to the beginning of their season. They got rid of their best forward, arguably one of the best forwards in the league.
Right.
Sold him to China, and they've really struggled to replace him.
Right.
And they haven't really figured it out, you know. They I want to say they're in last place because Vancouver has actually had a kind of turnaround and have, you know, turned their season around. But Seattle went winless in six or seven to start the season off and just have struggled to pick it up. So I'm not saying it's a shoo-in because, you know, you always want to prep your team for Seattle. I'm just saying that if you go to one, you know, maybe beginner's luck will carry us through.
Hint, hint.
You know. Yeah. No, I just thought it was funny, like, every time that you talk about, like, a player, like, transferring to a different team, whenever you say they sold him, it's like, is he a slave now?
Yeah. Well.
That's just, like, my initial thought. They sold him to China.
Yeah. Well, and what I was like, when you said that, I was like, what more than an American way to sell something to China? You know?
Listen, we're selling this guy to you because of all the stuff you sold to us.
Yeah, he's such a great player, though. I really, really.
Yeah,
is.
I mean, like on FIFA, like I said, most of my soccer knowledge comes from FIFA, but he's actually one of the fastest players on FIFA. So I guess that translates to he's one of the fastest players in the world. I don't know.
He was so good, and with Dempsey,
yeah.
I mean, they were just crazy. I mean, I know that they're looking at getting a midfielder in for the summer transfer, but A, he won't come in time. And yeah. B, I mean, getting a player accustomated to, acclimated to a team is really tough, especially mid-season.
Right.
And so you, I don't think that this season. Well, I mean, it's a long season, but
yeah.
I'm kind of, you know, to the point where maybe they're done, because other teams will start to figure it out around the same time they're starting to figure mm-hmm. it out, and they don't have the points that other teams have to carry them through.
Right.
While they try to figure it out,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think they're kind of done. But who knows? Maybe we'll be sitting here in October and I'll be like, damn, I messed
well,
that one up.
They figured it out.
Yeah, they figured it out, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, don't have much time left. Do you guys want to go over everything else before we finish?
Did you want to quickly talk about that goal that was a goal but wasn't called a goal?
Oh, like yeah. I mean,
it's the Dallas...
Again,
yeah.
Another one.
This one was
this like one, we just talked about one last week,
right? No, this one was
at least really bad.
A foot or two past the line, and the linesman was, I don't know if you saw it, he was like 2 or 3 yards away from the goalkeeper from the goal line where he should have been,
right?
And I mean, it was like the announcer was like, "Oh, can he save it? Oh no, he didn't save it. It's a goal." And then he's like, "Wait a minute, no one's calling it a goal." Yeah. He's like, holy crap, they completely missed what's the easiest call they can make all year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just another – I mean, again, we'll leave you with goal line technology. You know, it helps, and it's needed at this point.
Right.
I mean, like, all you got to do is, like, put, like, a tiny camera inside the post, like, that's facing the other way, and you can see if it's going across. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean – I know they can do it because they do all kinds of crazy, like, camera stuff on movies. So,
yeah,
obviously,
right.
it's possible.
It's possible, yeah.
Well, not even, like, it, realistically, though. I mean, they can do that. Like, the NFL has cameras in their pylons.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the end zone. Like, the one right on the edge for the same kind of thing. Like, so you can see down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you can see if they got it inside the pylon as well. So, I mean, it wouldn't be that difficult. I mean, if you can... put it on this, like, mobile little thing. You can put it in a goalpost that isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, just get it done.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so ridiculous that they can't figure that out. But I want to thank everyone for listening. Hope you had a good weekend. And I want to wish you a good week.
Yep.
And hopefully it goes pretty well.
Hopefully see some of you guys on Wednesday at the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. One, again, thank you for listening. This has been... Olay, Utah State. I'm here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. And I'm Ethan Chadwick.
CJ Waterama.
Sean Rogers.
Have a good one.